We're back with more the Berenstain Bears. I don't have any. There's no real good way to begin these episodes besides just saying hello and then jumping right into the theme song. So, hello. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're back looking at the Saturday morning TV show, The Berenstain Bears. We're on episode, I believe, 7, depending on who you ask. As you know, each episode is split into two stories. Those stories comprise episode of the thing A and B is how they're listed. So this is 7A and 7B, Night to Remember and the Super Duper Bowl. Now, Night to Remember says in the Wikipedia that Night to Remember was adapted from the book series, but I do not believe that's true. Then Night to Remember became a book in 1996, so more than 10 years after this episode aired in October of 1985. Night to Remember was adapted into a larger format storybook, which I covered on the show. I may have covered this episode years ago when I did it. Do not remember. I know that it's an actual factual story. I know it involves brother and sister, and according to the Wikipedia entry, this is one of a few episodes where neither Mama nor Papa physically appear. I don't know if they appear spiritually or emotionally or just in the sense that like their genetic code has been passed on to brother and sister. Therefore, they do appear in it the way I appear wherever my children go. I have no idea. The next episode, the Super Duper Bowl, not to be confused with the episode of I Love Raymond. Everybody Loves Raymond. What is it called? Everybody Loves Raymond. The episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, where a character says this isn't just a Super Bowl, it's a Super Duper Bowl, which is the other thing that pops up when you search Super Duper Bowl. And that is a Raffish Ralph ripoff special. And I do not believe Super Duper Bowl was ever adapted into any form of physical media. Brad, Jeremy, whoever, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Otherwise, we're going to hop right into this. We're going to watch ourselves a couple of Berenstain Bears episodes. Won't you join me watching, or if you're listening along at home, I'll see you on the other side. That's my new catchphrase. I'll see you on the other side. Here we go. And I'm back. Just watched the Berenstain Bears, episode 7, Night to Remember, not The Night to Remember or A Night to Remember. It's not about the sinking of the Titanic. It is about a suit of armor that comes to life and the Super Duper Bowl. Literally a Super Duper Bowl, which I assume they had to make a bowl, physical bowl, in order to legally make it called the Super Duper Bowl. I know that the Super Bowl is extraordinarily litigious when it comes to anyone using, it's like the Oscars. You can't like do an Oscars episode of a show unless you're an official part of the Oscars. You have to call it like the big award show or something, because they're very, very like careful about who they let use the name the Oscars or Academy Awards. And the Super Bowl is the same. So if you watch an episode of a show that features the Super Bowl, like because trying to tie into Super Bowl Sunday, they usually will never say Super Bowl. They'll say the big game, usually. Ah, the big game's this weekend. Ah, who you're rooting for in the big game? And you as an audience know who they're talking about, but they don't call it the Super Bowl because I think you have to pay for using the name. You certainly have to pay to use any of the logos or team logos or anything. That's copyrighted up the hoo-ha, but or trademarked up the boo-boo. But so it seems like in this episode, well, we'll get to it because the first episode is Night, K-N-I-G-H-T, Night to Remember. And this is a strange little tale. Of brother and sister hanging out playing in the park when Actual Factual shows up in his Actual Factual mobile and he hangs a sign up on the back scratching tree. We know it's the back scratching tree because he literally scratches his back on it, which is amazing. I love a little nod to like Bear Country lore there. So he hangs up a thing. He's looking for archaeology assistance. Like he's help wanted. He needs someone to help him in an archaeology dig. As I said in the episode, there must not be any kind of like advanced schooling near Beartown, because otherwise he would have some, if not archaeology students, at least students looking to intern for credit somewhere. But no, there's no college age Cubs or college age Bears anywhere, as far as I can tell, in near this town. So there must have been some sort of calamity that kept people from reproducing for a chunk of time. And that's why there's only Cubs of a certain age, but no like high school age Cubs or like young college age Bears. So actual factual is resorted to advertising on a tree for archaeology help. Brother and sister think it'd be fun to do, but they doubt they'll get to do it because they're certain that people are going to be lining up to help out actual factual. But of course, they're not. It's a boring thing, archaeology, as the Cubs think. Well, as we think the Cubs are soon to discover, they don't ever discover this. But what they do discover is that the Bearsonian Museum is the most boring place in Beartown, I guess. You would think that they would have go to the Bearsonian quite a few times, like quite a bit, but they seem to not. Because when they go in, they're like, everything in here is dull as dirt. It's no wonder nobody ever comes to this museum. However, they also refer to actual factual as like the greatest bear mind of the century. So he's clearly not smart enough to know how to get people to come to his museum. But he's like, well, we're going out to do some archaeological digging. It might take a while. It's going to be dusty. It's going to be hot. But I'm just looking. He's looking for something to like zazz up the place. They go to some random place in Beartown. Sister's like, I hope I find something cool. And he's like, that would take a lot of skill. She's like, oh, maybe some good luck. And he's like, there's no such thing as luck in archaeology, which I beg to differ. There has to be a little bit of luck in archaeology. She digs for like 5 seconds, finds a metal gauntlet. Eventually, they dig up an entire suit of armor that's been inscribed with a curse, a rhyming curse in English, saying that whoever disturbs this suit of armor is going to be cursed. And the Cubs are frightened by it, but actual factual is like, no such thing as curses. My question was, where did the suit of armor come from? It's clearly a medieval suit of armor. Actual factual goes so far as to say that. He puts up a sign saying, come to see the medieval suit of armor. He thinks it's going to be a cool new exhibit that'll get people to come to the museum. But he never like does any research on it, it seems. He never tries to figure out how this medieval suit of armor got buried in bear country. Pretty deep. Like they have to dig it out. I would think it was just a movie prop or something, because they don't have wasn't a lot of like feudal lords in Bear World, Bear Town, as far as I can tell, in Bear Country at all. Like in all the flashbacks to older history we've never seen knights jousting. We've never seen suits of armor. That's all bear European stuff. So I don't know. I don't know why actual factual. He's not a historian, I guess. Certainly not a historian. But he puts up a sign saying, come see this thing. But after he puts the suit of armor up, we the audience, witness animals from the attic. Like this, there's a tower in the Bearsonian that no one ever goes to. It's filthy and dirty. That's where they put the suit of armor. I guess they want people to walk up to it. They put the suit of armor up there and animals crawl into it. And then the axe it's holding chops down and almost hits them. And they're like, whoa, it must be the curse. And actual factual is like, no, this thing is a curse. But that night, actual factual is going to bed. He sleeps in the museum, by the way. We find that out. He sleeps in the museum. And he hears noises. He goes upstairs and the suit of armor is moving. Now, we know it's most likely those animals we saw go in and then look out with their like beady eyes. Like we know that there's something manipulative, but actual factual doesn't realize this. We as the audience, though, do. And in the book, they cut that. They cut any indication that the suit of armor is being manipulated by something internally. So we as readers are led to believe it might be a haunted suit of armor, just like actual factual. In the TV show, not so much. We are right there with the animals. We're simply waiting for actual factual to figure it out. He cancels the exhibit because he's been chased by a suit of armor, but the Cubs are like, let's try one more thing. They set up a trap where they put a chain across a doorway and they go into the room where the suit of armor is. They taunt the armor and it chases them. When it trips over the chain, the suit of armor explodes and all these animals come out. And they discover that it's the animals who live in the attic who simply don't want actual factual to take. They don't want to lose their home, I guess. It's weird because they didn't move into the suit of armor until they put it in the attic. At which point they were like, you absolutely can't get rid of this thing. Which I'm like, well, there's a ton of other stuff in this tower room that you have clearly been living in for a while. What's with the suit of what? Why is the suit of armor? They decide to let the animals. Actual Factor's like, I'm gonna get rid of those animals, and they're like, no, leave them. Well, they can move the suit of armor around and like spook people out when they come to the exhibit. I guess it'll be a selling point. So they start the exhibit up again, and it's a huge hit. And Actual Factor's like, thanks, kids. And at no point in the episode, and nowhere in the storyline, though, do we ever discover why there was a suit of armor with a curse buried in Bear Country. It's never brought up again. The curse was introduced simply to have the reason for them to assume that the suit of armor was alive or haunted or something. Never brought up again. So you, listeners at home, what's your theory? Who do you think buried it? I think it's just a movie prop. I think it's a movie prop, and that Actual Factual is a terrible museum curator who does not bother to do any research. There's not even any like text or anything. What people are going to come see it. It's going to take them all of 5 minutes. And then what? Like, then they just leave? I guess that's it. There's nothing. Oh, they can watch it dance around, I guess, because there's animals inside, which they will quickly figure out. They'll quickly figure it out. So still, it's a pretty charming episode. I love Actual Factual. I love talking like Actual Factual. I love like doing his voice. I love any stories involving him because he's such a weird. I know I've talked about it in the past, but the archetype of the neighborhood scientist is something that only seems to exist in children's fiction. The idea that they have, whether it's from Doc Brown, Mr. Wizard, the idea that everyone's neighborhood has at least one scientist who's just sort of a general scientist working there. Just like every neighborhood has one old lady who everyone thinks is a witch. Like everyone has one general know-everything scientist that they can turn to for inventions, for questions, whatever. So that's Night to Remember. Then we jump over to Super Duper Bowl. And this is a Raffish Ralph ripoff episode. And it's about how Raffish Ralph overhears Papa coaching the kids through some football moves. Like, the kids want to play, the Cubs want to play football. Like, the neighborhood Cubs. And Papa decides to take over because he used to be, like, an all-star football player in high school, I guess. And the kids just want to play, but he wants to coach them. They're like, fine. So he starts teaching them some complicated football plays, which is pretty cool. Like, it's an aspect of football that doesn't really get much like lip service in children's programming. But football is all about memorizing incredibly complicated plays. Football players have to really use their memories. They have to drill these plays over and over again in order to make them second nature, so they don't have to think about them. It's something that you don't really think about as a spectator unless you know the game. But part of being a football player is just knowing how they call the play, and then knowing what your role in that play is. As they say, the difference between football, American football, and European football, which we call soccer, is that in American football is all about people of different abilities and different styles and different play backgrounds coming together and sort of like homogenizing their play so that they can learn these very specific regimented plays and then use their strengths to make those plays like become effective maneuvering, like in a battle. Whereas soccer, European football, soccer is about people coming from various backgrounds, various strengths, various talents, and letting those talents determine the movement on the field. Letting those talents, like being in sync enough as a team that you know how to play off and with each other's specific abilities. So football is more like war. Soccer is more like the X-Men. They all have different talents, but sometimes Colossus has to throw Wolverine at a Sentinel to win, which you can't do in soccer in real life. So he's teaching them all these plays. Who's your walk by but Raffish Ralph ripoff, who's like, and you're like, oh no, Raffish Ralph's going to do something. Bear in mind, this is like 5 minutes from the end of the episode. Like, most of the episode is taken up watching the Cubs practice a football play. He huddles the Cubs up, too, at one point. He's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. I got the top secret Statue of Liberty play. And I'm like, why are you huddled up? It's just one team. Like, You're just, you don't have to, you don't have to lower your voice. There's no one else that can hear it because you're just running plays. You're not even, you're not playing against anyone. That aside, Ravage Raff has this idea. He's going to flatter Papa Bear by saying, like, I know you're the greatest football player in Bear Country. How would you like to be the football commissioner? I'm going to start a whole league, and I'm going to build you a stadium here in Beartown. And you can be the football commissioner, and you'll have the greatest team, and I'm going to buy them uniforms and equipment, and all you need to do is invest. Now, at one point, he goes on this ramble about, like, I got a bowl here, and he picks up, like, a gold bowl, and he's like, you've heard of all kinds of bowls? Well, this is going to be not, he's like, you hear like Rose and this and that and super. Well, this is a super duper bowl. And then he like puts the bowl away and you never see it again. I assume that that was included because they're like, you have to have him holding a bowl. Therefore, we're allowed to call it the super duper bowl because we have deniability. It's like, well, it's not really about the Super Bowl. It's about this particular bowl that Ravage Raff Ripoff has. And this, it never comes up again because Ralph is like, all you got to do is pay in, get your community support, and I'll, you know. And of course, sister and brother are like, especially sister. Sister's like, this is a scam. Like, this is just a scam. It's Ralph Ripoff. It's what he does. No one else listens to her, though. They go around the neighborhood collecting money. They hand it to Ralph, who's like, now I can put in an order for your uniforms. And brother's like, don't you need to size? He's like, I'm going to go pick up your uniforms. It's this whole thing where he's clearly lying. He says he's going to go pick up their uniforms. The Cubs follow him. They see him get onto his houseboat and are like, well, he's stealing our money. So they go to Big Paw, who's like unexpectedly shows up. Because Big Paw has given them like money, I guess. I can't remember. He donates something to the team. And they're like, we need your help against Ralph Ripoff. So they go to his houseboat. It's the first appearance of the houseboat in animation that I've seen. They go to his houseboat and they use Papa's football play that they learned to steal the money back. Like they go long and pass and they throw the money back and they catch. But it's brother and sister, cousin Fred, and unknown cub. It's the four of them. Very clearly, it's a cub in like a toque, like a snow hat, like a woolen cap, who I've never seen in my life. He doesn't have any lines, but he's there with them, the three of them, and unknown cub, who I don't know who is supposed to be. Barry Bruin, Herbie Cubison, no idea. But good on you, unknown cub, for getting a little screen time there. They use the football play to steal the money back. Ralph chases after them, but they go to Big Paw, and Big Paw intimidates him away. And they're kind of just like, it's a shame that, like, and Papa's like, I wish I got my stadium to be commissioner. And they're like, we just wanted to play football. Like, we just want to have a good time. And he's like, good. We'll go, whatever. That's the end of the episode. See episode 7, we have two episodes. We had Night to Remember, and we had the Super Duper Bowl. Now, usually, I come down on the side of a Ravage Raff episode. I love Ravage Raff. He's ridiculous. He has a ridiculous voice, ridiculous look. And he like, bounces up and down when he walks. It's really weird. But on this episode, this time, I'm going to have to give I'm going to have to weight it on my choice of which episode I preferred, which I've never done before, by the way. This is a new thing I'm doing, and I'm going to forget about it next episode. I'm going to forget I ever did this because I have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder that I'm not medicated for because I've never been medicated for it. I tried to get medication for it, and my medication did two things. It made it so I could not stand up very well. I would get very dizzy and fall over. I've tried a couple of different ones, and it made me forget how to pee. I couldn't pee anymore. Like, literally, my body was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I go to the bathroom. My body would be like, I'd be like, oh, I really got to go to the bathroom. And I get to the bathroom. My body would be like, what? Who? What? No, I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. What is this? What's this you're saying? Peeing? So I had to stop. I just stopped trying. I was like, you know what? I take anti-anxiety meds. I also have very bad anxiety. I take anti-anxiety meds. Which, as I say, and I've said a million times, I still have all the symptoms of ADHD, but I don't worry about them anymore because of my anxiety medications. I don't remember to do things very easily. Like if you tell me, Alana, the wonderful Alana, who's been on many of my episodes, Alana told me the other day, like last night, she was like, could you do this and this? She goes, could you go do this? And she was like, oh, and while you're there, make sure you do this. And I was like, I will. And I went and did what I was supposed to do. And I came back upstairs or downstairs. And she was like, oh, and did you get the da? And I was like, ah, no, I knew there was something else. Probably said it a bad word. But I was like, ah, I meant to do that. And I'm walking upstairs or downstairs. And I was like, ah, because she told me to do two things. And like one just pushed the other one out. Like it just pushes it out, which is what happens to my brain. So I'm never going to remember to do this again. But Night to Remember. I'm going to fall on the side of Night to Remember. It might count as a spooky episode. It might count as a Halloween. You get like this vision of the ghost of the night in the clouds at one point. It's like, oh, I will curse you. Because the kids are afraid of him. You get a lot of like dark cobwebs. You get the spiders are back. And you learn that Sister's communication with the animals extends into the Saturday morning show. Brother's like, Sister can talk to her best friend's a butterfly, which is a shame because her best friend's going to be dead in 2 weeks. But what can you do? He's like, her best friend's a butterfly. I bet it's a different butterfly every time. I bet she doesn't know. I bet the butterflies have like a thing where they're just like, don't tell Sister that Fernando died. Like, just bring in Rosalita. She won't know the difference. We all look the same to her. I don't know why there are Fernando and Rosalita. No idea, but headcanon, that's the butterflies. They're constantly passing away and replacing it because they don't want to hurt Sister's feelings. She's a bear. She doesn't get their lives, understand their life cycles. There's no children butterflies, by the way. So all of her friends who are butterflies and frogs are adults. She's friends with adults because children frogs are tadpoles and children butterflies are caterpillars. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Big thumbs up to both episodes, but a slight edge to Night to Remember. And also, pick up a copy of the book if you can find it. If you had it used, Night to Remember, it's a good book. It's fun. So that's it. That is The Berenstain Bears from 1985, Episode 7, Night to Remember Super Duper Bowl. I'll be back soon with even more goodness. Nothing more to add. Nothing more to add. Everybody, enjoy your day. Hope you enjoyed seeing part of the bed in the office because my camera's pointing in a weird direction, and I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.